Welcome to the Prodigal and the Priest podcast, a podcast about faith, sports, and two friends from different cultures. Here are your hosts, Joey Scansella and Father Paul Bechter.
All right, welcome into the podcast. Another day, another pod. You know what I'm saying? As if you're watching on YouTube, you're watching Father Paul almost fall out of his chair, reaching for a book in his study. Man, it would be nice if they built you like a nice shelving unit, like all together, one formed around the wall, and you had like a ladder you could climb, like in Beauty and the Beast or whatever.
That'd be amazing. Instead of like these mismatched shelves.
Which they're probably the cheap ones where the backs like fall out of them. You know what I mean?
I think some of them are actually kind of nice. It was just basically all the spare bookshelves in the seminary when I moved in. Revkev was helping me move in.
Nice.
And I said, I want all the shelves.
I want all.
And he said, bro, you can have them. So,
No one else has books in their office. And you've just taken all of their bookshelves, everything they have for them. Oh, also, hey, good job, Cowboys. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah, yeah. At least I won in fantasy this week, finally.
Oh, see, you just
3-6, baby.
You just deflect it. You're like, well.
No, I got nothing to say about that Cowboys game, except that the refs cheated. And
the refs cheated. That's what you're going to stake your claim to.
And that's why. That's why we went from, what, 1st and 5 on the goal line or...
I mean, it's pretty terrible how both of our lives have changed. You were not able to watch any part of it. I wasn't really able to watch any part of it. I had confirmation, parent meeting, all different things. I was at Costco trying to listen and the signal was like breaking up and different things. Yeah. And I'm like, this is the worst.
Yeah. I tuned in for a very brief period of time, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sundays are just, I've talked about this before. Sundays are awesome for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get to do very like Catholic stuff all day.
Right.
which I think is what people would hope priests do, but I don't know.
You'd hope.
It's like a full but balanced day. You know, we always have like more solemn liturgies in the seminary and then I lead a sacred study, like a sort of hour and a half long Bible study on something every Sunday. And it's great. And then we have a holy hour and a conference and all this stuff. It's great, but Sundays are just really full. There's no time for football.
No time for football. Yeah. No time for football. Well, let's jump into the pod here today. We're kind of talking about a topic that we've talked a little bit about with our fifth part of our precepts of the Catholic Church. So far, just a recap, we've talked about the precepts of attending Sundays and holy days and no servile work. We've talked about you shall confess your sins at least once a year. We've talked about you shall receive the sacrament of Eucharist at least during the Easter season once a year. The fourth precept last time we talked about you shall observe the days of fasting and abstinence established by the church. So we've gone through those four podcasts within the precepts. So make sure to jump back if you haven't listened to those yet. Definitely do that. In today's topic, we kind of touched base on a little bit in our last series. We did a two-part tithing series, if you remember. And so we're going to give some practicals from that. We're going to give some practicals from that as we jump into our fifth precept, which is you shall help to provide for the needs of the church. Means that faithful are obliged to assist with the material needs of the church, each according to his own ability. The faithful also have the duty of providing for the material needs of the church, each according to his own ability. It like repeated the way it was like I grabbed it, wherever I grabbed it from online. So fifth precept,
that's how the catechism's printed.
I was like, wait, I thought I grabbed this directly from the catechism. And I was like, did it just repeat the line of just change ability to abilities?
Yeah, that's so weird. It says the faithful are obliged to assist with the material needs of the church, each according to his own ability. The faithful also have the duty of providing for the material needs of the church, each according to his ability. What in the world?
I thought I messed it up. You, Catechism of the Catholic Church, have messed it up.
It quotes the same canon after each one. So after the first sentence, it says, oh, footnote 86 is canon 222. And then footnote 87 after the second time is canon 222.
It's like that straight up Michael Scott straight quote up typo. Where it's like, miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Michael Scott, a.k.a. Wayne Gretzky. So anyway, jumping back into the fifth precept, which, like I said, we'll link to our two-part series on tithing, and a lot of this is just going to be a reminder of that in case you're just jumping into our series, and we welcome and we thank you and encourage you to hit that little bell or that little plus symbol or whatever platform you're on to subscribe and follow us. But you shall help to provide for the needs of the church. So let's jump into it. Like I said, we've talked about tithing, the importance of it, where it comes from, scripturally. Now, Father, when they're talking about this fifth precept and you provide the needs of the church, just want to dive into that a little bit. Are we talking about just the needs of actually the physical building of the church? Are we talking about like the needs that like, hey, we need to hire a youth minister. We need to make sure the priests can live and have meals and things like that. Or are they saying like, just the physical building, the church, just, you know, that people are able to come on Sundays and holy days and, you know, receive the Eucharist. So what are we talking here when we jump into the fifth precept?
Yeah. So the church here is, can you hear me okay, by the way, after I dropped that microphone?
Great. I think you sound okay. Great.
Fantastic. So glad. So I think the church here is meant in all the senses of church. Mm-hmm. So church building, but also like the church as the body of Christ, the church as the bride of Christ, like the church as hierarchical. Like it seems like everything is meant, because in that canon 222, which is
also cited, canon 222
cited twice in a row, it does spell it out more. It says that Christ's faithful have the obligation to provide for the needs of the church. Yeah, we've already heard that.
Mm-hmm.
So that the church has available to it those things, and then it gives a list, those things which are necessary for, one, divine worship, two, for works of the apostolate and of charity, and three, and for the worthy support of its ministers.
Mm.
So in the first paragraph, it gives three things. One,
say those three again, just so people can hear them.
The things that are necessary for divine worship. So I think that would be everything from like the church building itself, mm-hmm. and making sure it's got air conditioning because we're in Texas, and that the roof isn't leaking, and that like the vestments are worthy, mm-hmm. and the vessels, and just all the stuff, like everything that's necessary for divine worship.
Right.
And it's not saying like minimalist either. Like it's the church here has this idea of like divine worship as this kind of pinnacle,
source and summit, some might say.
Yeah. Source and summit. So like that we offer to God our best. So it's using necessary, I think, in that sense. Second is for works of the apostolate and of charity. Interesting. I'm looking at the, okay, those might actually be two separate things, the way the catechism's written.
Okay.
So let's treat them as two separate things. For works of the apostolate? No. I think they're meant to be together, because they're both under one preposition in the Latin. So it's ad opera apostolatus et caritatis.
Mm.
So both of those fall under ad opera, to the works of, and then it says apostolate and charity.
Got it.
I think they're meant to be kind of the same category, that like and that's like within a parochial structure and also not within a parochial structure, like that we're obliged to provide so that the church is able to carry out this mission that she has going. You know the Matthew quote better than me, but to make disciples.
Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I've commanded for you. For behold, I am with you to the end of the age.
Yeah. So that one.
Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Thank you. Sorry.
Excellent. Yeah. So like the church exists to go out and make disciples through baptizing and teaching and preaching, doing all the things that Christ has commanded us to. So like, it's not like an extra thing,
right?
The church doesn't only exist for Sunday mass, but exists to go and make disciples. Mm-hmm. And so it's necessary that we provide for the church to be able to do that. The apostolate, which is, I think that's the going to make disciples part specifically, and then works of charity, that like the Holy Spirit who enlivens the church, the spirit of charity, like has to be made clearly seen, like that this is the heart of who we are, is the bearers of God's divine charity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be engaged in works of charity, whether it's like on an individual level, like almsgiving and taking care of those around us, or on an institutional level, like the way the church has been involved in the creation of the idea of hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And orphanages and like all these different kind of institutional things. I would even say things like universities or schools have some connection there, although it's less obvious like how that's a work of charity, but I think
right.
it still does fit, especially if it's the kind of parochial school that makes education available to those who couldn't have had it otherwise.
Right.
So our Catholic education available who couldn't have had it otherwise. And then the third thing on the list is the worthy support of its ministers.
That's the one I like. Let's dive into that one.
Worthy support. In the Latin, it says the necessary support. No, ad honestum ministrorum sustentationem. So for the honest support, the honest sustenance of ministers.
So what they really mean here is let's find some youth ministers and pay them as cheap as possible. That's the worthy support of its ministers in the church. Meanwhile, while the priests are getting like feeding fathers meals like four times a week.
Yeah, the honest support of ministers. So not extravagant, but also like enough. St. Paul does talk about that too, about like the labor deserves his pay. And he says he willingly foregoes it, but that it is sort of, that's a work of charity on his part.
Right.
And not an act of justice on the others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, I mean, it's very biblical in that sense. Like St. Paul takes up a lot of the Acts of the Apostles is, a big chunk of it is him taking up a collection to send to Jerusalem from the other churches. Like, I think that's for all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Got another example that just talked about the other day. Tobit talks about...
Tobit 4, 7 through 11, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right, actually. Is this a...
Wait, why are you shocked?
It's just you're the scripture guy.
I'm the scripture guy. Yeah.
But the is that where Raphael tells, or Raphael, the archangel Raphael, tells Tobit like, hey, this incredible thing happened. Like you said that almsgiving delivers from darkness.
Mm.
And then you said that even while you had been plunged into darkness through being blind. And like you stuck to that, like, I know this is true. Proverbs, what is it? Proverbs 10:2, I think, says that almsgiving delivers from death.
Mm.
And so like Like you trusted in that even as you were literally plunged into darkness and told your son, Tobias, like trust in the power of charitable deeds and of almsgiving. Like when you give to the Lord, he promises to repay it as a loan. I think that's Proverbs 17:10, something like that. And then when Tobit is cured, then Raphael, Raphael, I get tongue tied. He comes to Tobit and's like, you need to proclaim this to all of Israel so that they know. And so it's either that's either chapter four or a different chapter. There's two places in Tobit where that happens.
Right.
But he talks about taking up a collection. Sending money to Jerusalem as an expiatory sacrifice.
Right.
If I'm thinking of the right spot.
Yeah, there's another part in Tobit that I think talks about not storing it up here on earth, but, you know, or that you can't take that treasure to heaven. You can't store it up and take that treasure to heaven. It's probably all related to it. I do want to ask the question that if there is someone struggling, I've talked to many a people who... Many a people. They give 10%. They give a general tithe, right? Or they give... They're actually giving until it kind of, you know, hurts and in a sacrificial way. But because they don't like certain things going on in their parish or diocese or whatever it is, say, well, I'm going to give this to these other missionaries or this other organization or this other thing. And although I definitely am all about supporting missionaries, supporting, apostolates, I think sometimes there can be an act of giving to the church, even though we don't understand everything that is happening. Right. And I just think it's become interesting about how people use their money to vote. Right.
The vote with your checkbook thing.
Right. And in this precept, right. Like it's expensive to run a church. It's expensive to be able to these three things, right? That you just dove into: being able to divine worship, works to support the apostolate and works of charity, and support its ministers. I mean, that is not cheap if you are actually doing it in a missional way and are doing things appropriately, things also well. And so, yeah, any words of encouragement to somebody who's just saying, well, I'm really struggling to actually give to the actual church, right? I'm giving till it hurts, but I'm struggling with actually sending it to the church because I'm not sure I agree with what they're using it for or doing.
It's tough because it's really easy to see a lot of the failures of the institutional church and the ways in which that it's contributed just actively to promoting distrust, even not even on a moral level, the abuse scandal, but even just ineptitude, right? People who have been very successful in business lives by being good at this stuff, look at the church and they're like, I'm not investing in my parish. It's bleeding money. Why would I do that?
Right.
Prove to me that you're going to use it well and then I'll give. And that's, I don't know. First, I just want to acknowledge that that's very understandable. Mm-hmm. And there's something that seems true in there to me.
Right.
But it also doesn't seem like the whole thing. Because there's something in there also of I'm not really a part of this. And so I'm gonna give up on it until they get their act together.
Right.
And I do wonder if that's the specific call for that person. is like, how am I challenged with this reality that like it's not me and them, but it's all of us in this, and that like maybe the Lord's calling me to make this better, not just to throw money into an empty hole or bottomless pit, but mm-hmm. like how do I invest myself in such a way that it actually gets better,
right,
and becomes the kind of thing where I can give with more trust that's going to go well. And I don't want to make it seem like, you know, everywhere is just this mismanaged place. Like that's not actually the case.
Right.
And I think sometimes, especially if they're very formed by the internet, by social media, and like by, I don't know, the image I like is looking into the Palantir mm-hmm. From Lord of the Rings. Father Edwin's going to be mad because he doesn't like Lord of the Rings analogies, thinks they're overused. But yeah, the Palantir in Lord of the Rings, like Pippin looks into it and he sees all this true stuff that's going on that's really bad, but it's not in context. Like, and so it leads him into despair. And I think that we do that with the internet, and that we see true bad things, but without any context to them, and that we kind of like, when we go down that path, we kind of want to just indulge in the despair a little bit.
Right.
And that's like not what we're called to be. Called to be, you know, the ones who carry light into darkness or who leaven the, like we're meant to see that this is not an ideal situation.
Right.
It never is. But we're meant to be the ones who affect like real change in there and bring the light of hope in the midst of it. And so I think that this obligation to assist with the material needs of the church, which does really focus on one's parish in a with a primacy of place, mm-hmm. I would say. Just that's the way that the structure of the church is, that it's a parochial church, and that other apostolates are like subordinate to that local church, diocesan and parochial structure,
right,
which like has the apostolic succession, and so is the sort of, I don't know, the load-bearing beams, right. I guess. Yeah, I think that if that's a challenge, and I bet it is for a lot of people, then I think it's a good challenge, because it's a challenge towards like a place in the heart that might be reluctant to say like, okay, well, maybe it is up to me,
right,
to make this better and to invest myself in a way that's more than even the giving of money to make it better.
Right.
And I mean, that's a big ask, right? It's a lot bigger ask than saying like, use the auto pay, which,
right.
Which is already, it's already a very big ask to do that. I'm not diminishing that, but to say like, well, I don't want to do that because I don't trust that it'll be used well. And then to have it come back to you and say, well, do something to make it better so you do trust it. Like, that's a huge ask.
Yeah, it is.
And maybe it's easy for me in the seminary, the safety of the seminary, talking into my microphone to say things like that. But I think that is what the church is asking.
Yeah.
Because without that, like, I don't know, there's this, without saints who are like giving themselves, to further the mission of Christ, mm-hmm. and like Saint Francis, to rebuild my church,
right?
Like, without that, then like, who's gonna do it? The Lord's given it to us.
Yeah.
So there's a thing here too. We just read it in the Catechism the other day for our course in seminary on the Catechism. And all the numbers are kind of a blur in my head, but it's it's early on in the liturgical section. The liturgical section of part two of the catechism. And it talks about how like how we have rights and duties with respect to the sacraments. And I think that's just true in general within the church. It's talking about that as well. And it I think a lot of the time we think of that which we're owed as being members of the church. Like the church needs to feed us. We're owed that.
Yeah.
And that's really true. And when people don't feel fed by the church, like it's really scandalous and frustrating.
Right.
But in the same place that it says that, it also really emphasizes like how much of a duty we have by being baptized into the church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and part of the duty is that like we're not free anymore to consider ourselves as part of this like us them, like they're at our service, but like we're part of it. And and we have to do everything we can to make it worthy of God and like capable of carrying out the mission that he's given it. Wish I could find that paragraph. It's in the 11-1200 section in the catechism.
Just look for those 11-1200 section of the catechism. No, that's good. I want to encourage people to go back to listen to that tithing part one, part two. Part one was more the practical of why we tithe, why it's so important. Part two was the practicals of some of giving, how to kind of set it, and he found the thing. So go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. It's in paragraph 1269. This is what we read the other day in class. It's a long paragraph, so bear with me, but having become a member of the church, the person baptized belongs no longer to himself, but to him who died and rose for us. From now on, he is called to be subject to others, to serve them in the communion of the church, and to obey and submit to the church's leaders, holding them in respect and affection. Just as baptism is the source of responsibilities and duties, the baptized person also enjoys rights within the church, to receive the sacraments, to be nourished with the word of God, and to be sustained by the other spiritual helps of the church. It's talking about both, right? Like, like as members of the church, we have the right to be nourished by the word of God and the sacrament, the other spiritual helps. But we also don't belong to ourselves anymore. We belong to Christ and also to his body, which is truly part of him. They can't be separated. The totus Christus, head and body, like St. Augustine says. And so because of that, we're called to be subject to others, to serve them in the communion of the church. And most difficult, to obey and to submit to the church's leaders, holding them in respect and affection. Like that's hard stuff. That requires a lot of death, a lot of death to self.
Yeah.
And it's an ongoing thing. And so I think also the material needs of the church, like that's an ongoing death to self as well. It's not like I figure it out this day. Mm-hmm. I can set the amount and then I'm free from that. But like, it's gonna keep coming after us because it's part of being a member of this family.
Yep.
Is that like the pastor will come back to you and say like, I know I just asked you for this, but we also need this. Can you get it for this too?
Right.
Like that's part of being this family. And it's not that you have to say yes every time. Like you have to make that good discernment. Like you always have to say yes to Christ, but you have to say yes in this sort of like respectful obedience way within the church. But it's a yes of like, yes, I will prayerfully discern again.
Right.
Yes, I will do that difficult work. And not, I've already done that. Go ask somebody else. like that's where the death to self is.
And right.
Yeah. It's a really hard precept, but it's like, in some ways it's where God keeps breaking into our life.
Yeah. 100%.
And we can't escape him. So, 100%. Sorry, you were doing a callback to our tithing. episode.
Yeah, no. I think that's a good thing to end on. This is a little bit of a shorter episode here today, but because we did do a two-part series on tithing and talking about the why and then the practicals of how to give. But I think that's a really, that's for me a good note to leave on, is that death to self, right? Like, do we want to be right or do we want to be holy? I don't know. You know, like sometimes I think we just want to be right or want to be heard or, you know, validated with our opinion instead of actually just striving for holiness and like what Christ is calling us to. And so, yeah, I just want to encourage people to do that and to lean into that within these precepts, and that these precepts are there to make us holy, right? So with that, started the music, the fade out. Definitely next episode, we're going to toss out questions that you all have submitted about the precepts and some other things that have been waiting. So make sure to submit any questions, prodigalandthepriest@gmail.com or www.prodigalandthepriest.com. gmail.com. Yeah, all of that. Make sure to subscribe, listen, and on behalf of Joey Scansella, Father Paul Bechter, we want to say take care.
God bless.